Let's go to the book of Mark this morning. If you brought your Bible, let's turn to Mark chapter 4. I'm going to begin reading in verse 3 down through verse 9. And so if you have that, it's good to set our eyes on it, right? Right? Okay. I knew you were out there somewhere, because I can see you. Can't talk and look up in our Bibles at the same time. All right. Mark chapter 4, verse 3 starts out, and it says, "Listen, behold, the sower went out to sow. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some seed fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come and to study your word. And Father, to let your word just begin to grow again in us. And Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray, Lord God, that you would open our eyes to see and our ears to hear what your spirit is saying, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a couple weeks ago, Lisa was talking about this particular passage in Mark chapter 4. And I want to go back and visit that probably over the next couple weeks. But this morning, I want to talk about it because it starts out and it says, "The sower sowed the seed." Now, if you go farther down, I think it's in verse 14 in this particular chapter, it says that the sower sowed the word. Now, as we talked last week, we talked about the different things that God had been showing us through the 21 days of prayer and fasting. What that told me is God was sowing some seed in your heart. God was sowing seed in your heart over these 21 days of prayer and fasting, because God had spoken to you things, and as you had received them, you spoke them out to us. God was showing us this, or this, or this. Now, what I want to do today is I'm not going to get real deep in this, because it's not a deep subject. It's pretty much basic. Every one of you, I was thinking about it this morning. I don't think anybody had to tell you what to do when you were in your garden. And so what I want to talk to you today about is what we do after the seed is sown. Because the seed has been sown. The seed has been sown in our hearts, and now we need to see it grow. Now, if you notice, the seed was never the problem, and the soil was never the problem. It produced in every soil that it was put in. The problem came with the contaminants in the soil. Am I right? It was the rocks. It was the weeds. The rocks didn't give it any depth. The weeds choked it out. It all grew in every one of those soils. The soil was not the problem. The problem is the contaminants that we put in the soil, or we allow in the soil. Let me say it that way. God's word will grow every time it's planted. Amen? Every time. You can't say, "Well, that doesn't work for me." Yes, it does. It grows every time. You put that seed in the ground, it's going to grow. Now, how much it grows depends on us, because we're the ones that allow the stony ground or the thorny ground. We're the ones that get all that going in us. The seed is never the problem. Now, see, and if we don't understand this, if we don't have this concept in our mind, then we're not going to understand the parable, nor will we understand any of the parables that Jesus teaches. So if you don't understand this one, and then you get over to the one where it talks about the sealed seed begins to grow, first the blade, then the ear, and then the corn. We're not going to understand those things, those parables, if we don't understand this parable. Because over in chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" So all the parables are going, pointing back to this one. You've got to get it here. You've got to get this. The seed will produce when it's planted. The seed will produce when it's planted. The seed is always good seed. The seed is always good. It says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God," through the word of God, "which lives and abides forever." The word of God will always produce what it's sent out to do. We read that over in Isaiah 54. The word will accomplish that which I send it out to do. The word will work. If we don't know that or don't understand that or aren't convinced of that, then we're not going to understand the other teachings that Jesus has for us. This parable is top shelf to understand God. We deal with all the time. So, let me ask you this question. You plant the seed, then what do? You go out in your garden, what? You plant the seed, then what? Water it. See? That's not rocket science, is it? How many knew that and didn't want to say anything? Y'all knew that, right? Okay, so this is not rocket science. It's very simple, but it's needed in the body of Christ. Now, we know that in the natural, but if I was to go, well, I'm not going to go to this church, but any church, a lot of churches in the United States today, they don't know how to water the seed. They know they're supposed to. And it says over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul says that he planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So a lot of people are waiting for Apollos to come and water it. I just need Apollos to come and take care of this. Well, you know what? If I waited for you to come over and water my garden in the summer, it would die. No, it's not that you wouldn't want to come over or come over and help some days. But you can't depend on other people to water your plant. You have to learn how to water yourself. And there's a lot of different ways to water. I'm sure if I were to take the time, everyone's got their own little, well, he's got to do this. You just got to do this. My mom had beautiful roses. And she would just turn the hose on and stick it in the flower bed and it would flood. And that's how she watered. And it worked. Turn it off and there's an inch or two of water in the flower bed and it would all soak in and it would be great. How many have overwatered? What happens? It turns yellow. It doesn't produce. It just gets ugly. Well, I love this about these seeds that we're talking about today is because you cannot overwater the Word of God. You cannot come and overwater the Word of God. It says that Apollos watered. What did Apollos do? Apollos came behind Paul, and because he was taught the same thing as Paul, he said the same thing as Paul. So Paul came in and planted the seed by speaking the word. Apollos came back, reinforced that word, and God gave the increase. I was looking up some things this morning, and it said, to take something, how many used to cram for test? Did you guys cram for test when you had test? And the night before, you would just go and cram that on your head. Do you realize that it takes 5 to 7 times of hearing something to take that information from your short-term memory to your long-term memory? How many remember everything they crammed? Probably not. Why? Because we didn't take the time to move it from the short-term memory to the long-term memory. Then it goes on to say, if you want to really learn it, it takes any time, anywhere from 7 to 14 times of hearing it to actually learn it. Now, you all didn't do this today, but a lot of people do this. When they hear a scripture given, Mark chapter 4 is about the sower and the seed. Some people, because that is such a familiar parable, they just kind of, I've heard that before, and kind of click out. Rather than stopping and listening to the parable and saying, you know what, God, I haven't heard that enough. I need to hear it more. Now, there's different ways of learning as we do this. Sometimes we need to read it. Sometimes we need to listen to it. Sometimes we need to speak it with our mouth. And sometimes we need to write it down. Those are all 4 ways of learning things. So in those 7 to 14 times, if we want to learn it, we might read it, we might listen to it, we might speak it, and we might have to write it down to get it. But if we do those things, now, all of this is based on your learning level. Now, full disclosure, I don't learn real quick. You can tell me your name, walk to the back of the church, and I forgot it. I can do the same thing in the scripture. How many of you have read things in the morning and think, that is awesome, I'm going to talk to my husband or my wife about that? And then you go, I was going to ask you something. What was that I was going to ask you? Why? Because I didn't repeat it. I didn't write it down. I didn't take the time to learn it. Yes, I had the question, and it was a good question. And that's maybe why I ask people questions in the middle of things that, like, where did that come from? It just came back to me. So we need to take time to water it by repeating it. So at the end of last week, last Sunday was the last Sunday, the day of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. I hope that you did not stop going over all that information that God showed you. I hope you didn't just sit back and think, oh, great, we're done. I don't have to do that anymore. No, come on. We need to continue that. Continue digging into that, rereading the scriptures, rereading what God said to us. Did anybody, well, we know Lisa did. She did the fruit of the spirit of kindness. Okay? Kindness was her word. So she probably went to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. All right? How many else had something out of those verses that you were studying? Anybody? Too bad. We're going to do it anyway. All right. Can you give us that scripture, Lise? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. I want us all to read this together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit of the Spirit. There's nine fruits of the Spirit. Nine fruits of the Spirit. And if you studied this, you probably turned to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, and read that almost every day. Right? So whatever you were studying, you probably turned or tried to quote this passage every day. What were you doing? You were watering it every day. Every day. Do you see, most of the scriptures that I memorize or I have memorized, I did not set out to memorize them. I repeated them. I repeated them over and over and over. For there is now, therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation in Christ Jesus. We repeat them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. These verses were not committed to memory because I wanted to memorize them. It's because I repeated them over and over and over until they got down inside of me. And so now when I pray, I can pray the Word of God. I can pray the Word of God. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, he shall quicken my mortal body. He shall give life to my mortal body. That's an amazing healing scripture. Because he gives life, not sickness, not death, life to my physical body. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. So, if you were studying the fruits of the Spirit, maybe your prayer might come out something like this. And I want to encourage you, whatever it was you were studying, what you were praying for, is incorporate the Word of God into your prayer. All right? So, Lord, your Word says that I have the same Spirit living and working in me that raised Christ from the dead. And if I have that Spirit working and living in me, then that Spirit will quicken my mortal body. That Spirit will give life to my mortal body. And because that Spirit is living in me, then I have the fruit of the Spirit living in me. I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and/or self-control. I have them all living inside of me. So today, Lord God, I come in agreement to your Word. And your Word says that this is living in me. So I have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And I'll repeat them again. And we just begin to declare and coming into agreement with the Word of God. That's what we're doing when we're repeating the Word of God. We're coming into agreement with it. We're watering the Word, the seed that's been planted in me. Because the Spirit of God is in me. Now, Lord, this is not based on my actions. It's not based on how lovely I am during the day or how peaceful I am during the day. But, God, this is based on your Word. I am full of joy. I am full of love. I am full of peace. Now, how many of you this week, when you heard about the plane crash, what thoughts went through your mind that were not peaceful? Think about it. Were your first thoughts peaceful, joyful, loving, patient, kind? See, when we get this word and we begin to water it in our hearts, we don't automatically start to worry. Worry is no longer our default. We should not be known as worriers. If we are, then you need to study this passage, because the peace of God surpasses all understanding. If we keep our mind stayed on Him, He will keep us in perfect peace. I don't keep my mind stayed on the things of the world. I don't keep my mind stayed on the things around me. I'm not guided by wicked men. There's a scripture, some of you might know it, Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. How many have read that before? Okay. And, pardon?
Did you talk to your wife? She read it this morning.
Oh, she did.
Yes.
She did. Okay.
So we've all heard it.
You've all heard it. Okay, so what does it start out with? First part of verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Stop right there and think about that. How many ungodly people do you listen to rather than the Word of God? I'll tell you what, when you listen to ungodly men, you start to worry. When you listen to the Word of God, you stand in peace. So, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel, the advice, the encouragement of the ungodly. Oh, don't worry about it. Everybody goes through that. That's not what the Bible says. Give me a scripture on it. You need to find the scripture. God, I'm a man of peace. I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And He'll take care of everything. He'll add all these other things to me. I don't have to worry about it. I walk in peace. I live in peace. I rest in peace. Psalms 23 talks about the shepherd, and he's leading the sheep beside the still waters. It leads them into green pastures. Do you know if you're in green pastures, you're not worried about food. You're not worried about the price of eggs. How many have talked about the price of eggs this week? Guilty, right? Why? Because it's something that is concerning to all of us. So when we put our focus on God, on the kingdom of God, He's going to provide all the eggs you're going to ever need. He's got it. He knows what's going to happen. He's already taken care of that. We just have to trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Why? Because He's God. He's the shepherd. He's going to tell us where to go. He's going to direct our path, our prayers, everything that we do. He's going to take care of it. So I pray these prayers according to the Word of God. Yeah, but that's not the way I am. I am not a peaceful person. I worry all the time. I fret. And you can go on down that list if you want to. But here's another scripture you need to add into your prayer. It's in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Why don't we put that up, Lisa, and then we can all read that one too. All right, let me get to this side. I have been, say it with me, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I live by faith. That should be our prayer. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ living in me. The life that I now live, I live by faith. I don't live by circumstances. I don't live by the things around me. I live by faith. Because he loves me and he gave himself for me. See, that needs to be part of our prayer in the morning too. God, I have been crucified with Christ. My flesh is not going to control me today because my flesh has been crucified. And the life that I live by faith. I don't live by actions. I don't live by, well, look how good I am. I can do this. No, I live by faith in the Son of God. So when I say, when the scripture says the weak shall say we're strong, I don't say that because I'm strong. I say that because I'm resting in God. I'm resting in God. He supplies all my needs according to his riches. Not my riches. Not my bank account. He has already looked ahead and said, I've got you covered. I've got you covered. Romans chapter 6, verse 6 says, knowing this, that our old man was, here it is again, crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with. That old body that used to rule you and reign and control you has been done away with. That we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now, if you would take the time, I just challenge you to do this. Go back to Romans. Romans chapter 5. And you start reading in chapter 5. And you start reading and you go down through chapter 5. And when you get to chapter 6, just keep on reading. Keep on reading down through chapter 6. And then you can go through 7 and 8 and just keep on going. And there is no way you can walk by faith and be controlled by the flesh. See, a lot of people say they're realist. Now, I don't know your definition of what a realist is. But a realist, in my definition, looks at the things around them and that's what makes their decisions. That's not walking by faith. Although many Christians think that's a sign of honor. I'm a realist. No, you're not. You should be a man of faith. Because the outside world is not controlling me. Because as you read through chapters 5 and chapter 6, you're going to think, wait a minute. It seems like in my life, the flesh is still controlling. It seems in my life, I'm still giving in to circumstances. It seems like in my life, I still struggle with all these things. But by faith, we can be set free. The Word of God has been given to us to change our life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to approve or prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. When we begin to think the way God thinks. Begin to think the way God thinks, according to the Word. I am a child of the living God. I am full of love. I am full of joy. I am full of peace. I am full of patience. I am all of these things because the Spirit of God lives in me, not because you can see it written all over my face. It's written in my heart with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God controls my life. If we're led by the Spirit of God, then we're not led by the flesh. Romans chapter 8. We get these things by watering the word every day. Watering that seed that has been planted in your heart every day. Now, I believe and I trust that every one of you have seed planted in them. Now, sometimes you can come to church, turn on the TV, turn on the radio, whatever, and hear somebody preaching and get watered. But they're not there on Monday morning or Tuesday morning or Wednesday. You have to learn how to water yourself. Yes, it's good to go and get water. It's great for the farmers when the rains come, right? But then there's other times where they have to water themselves. So my encouragement to you is to learn to water the seed God's planted in you. And we do that with the Word of God. We get into the Word. Now, I know that you all, well, everyone that was here last week, and you guys all stood up and you gave testimony of what God showed you. The seed's been planted. The seed's been planted. Now water it. Keep watering it. Pretty soon that plant is going to grow up. And then we're going to begin to see the different parts of that begin to manifest. And pretty soon, you're not going to have to remind yourself every day that you're a man or woman of love or joy or peace. Pretty soon, things people say are not going to ruffle your feathers like they did before. They're going to cut you off in traffic and you're going to say, Lord, I just pray you bless them. They're in a hurry for some reason. Keep them safe. I don't know why they're upset, but it had nothing to do with me. I'm a man of patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. See, our whole viewpoint of life begins to change when the seed begins to grow. Now, one more helpful hint. Don't wait until harvest to plant your seed. Right? Now you think it would be crazy for a farmer to go out and plant his seed around the 4th of July and then expect to get his harvest at the 1st of August. It's not going to happen. But you know what? People do that all the time in church. They wait till they get sick before they start reading scriptures on healing. And then they can't figure out why they're not healed. I don't know why God didn't heal me. Well, what scripture are you standing on? Well, I don't know. I know there's one in there that says something about healing. No, we need to plant when we're healthy. We need to plant when everything is going good. That's when you need to plant. Plant those seeds of patience before you need patience. So that when it comes time, you just walk through it and you never even think about it. Plant ahead of time. If you go to a farmer, every one of them can probably tell you how many days until that seed comes out of the ground. And it's still not yet ready to harvest. I was looking at the seeds down at the hardware store yesterday, and I pulled them out and I said, and right on there it says, it takes so long, 2 weeks before you see anything. But we want it in the church overnight. We think God should do a miracle for us. Well, he's done that before, and he can do that. Remember Aaron's rod? Overnight, a dead stick produced green leaves and almonds and buds. Overnight. Yes, God can do that. But God's plan for you and I, the parable of the sower and the seed, says to put the seed in the ground, water it, and it'll and it'll grow every time. And you know what? He might throw in a miracle here and there too. And that's okay. I'll take miracle any day I can get it. But we've got to plant the seed. We've got to water it by repeating it over and over and over. Somebody should be able to walk up to you after church today and say, what was the seed planted in your life? And you could say, kindness, patience, perseverance, love, whatever it was. That should be something that we just continue to do over and over and over. That's watering the seed. Amen. It's something that we do repetitively. It's how many get tired of going out and watering every day? Ah, man, I don't have time. Well, you know what? If you don't have time, you know what's going to happen. Same way in the kingdom of God. Water. And if you get behind, do like my mama would do. Just pour the water to it. Flood it if you have to. You cannot overwater the word of God. It's going to grow. Amen?